friends. Welcome back to another edition of the Insurance Requirements Podcast. I am your host, Andrew Carell. My guest today is the CEO of InsuredMine, an insurtech company that helps independent agents be more awesome. By providing tools that unlock CRM potential, marketing, and answering questions for their insureds, InsuredMine allows independent agents to focus on what they're best at, and that's fostering relationships and providing excellent advice. Rashan also shares his experience buying insurance from an agent that actually uses InsuredMine software in their agency and how it was better than he could have imagined. We then pivot into the importance of mastering IT security from the very start of your business. And then we end the show on a very timely discussion on what types of lessons Rashan hopes to share with his children as they watch him build his business. And now, on to the show. Rashan Jaiswal, thank you so much for joining me today on the Insurance Requirements Podcast.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And so you're the co-founder and CEO of InsuredMine, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
For those that aren't familiar with InsuredMine, would you mind giving us a little tour of your company and what you do?
Of course. InsuredMine started a couple of years ago, almost three now, and it is designed and developed for independent insurance agents who are all focused on customer experience, customer service, and growth. When I say these things, which means our focus is to help agencies accomplish three core goals for their business, which is convert, engage, and retain clients. How are you converting your prospect or strangers to client? How are you engaging with your prospects and client? And then how are you retaining them? And these three goals are accomplished through InsuredMine's model, which is called SEAM, SEAM. SEAM, as you understand, is stitching. So how do you stitch four things together? SEAM, which is sales, engagement, analytics, and mobility. And that's the model we use to accomplish those three core goals of an organization that is looking to grow and that is looking to delight their customers. So it's very vague when I say, you know, it's sales, engagement, analytics, and mobility. When you peel that one layer and go deep, which is primarily about your sales CRM, it's primarily about your marketing automation. It is about setting up all your data story about your agency, and then is a mobile app for your clients. So these four things, your CRM, your marketing automation, your data analytics, and mobile app. So from a product side, you can say these are the four things that InsuredMine offers.
The type of product that you're doing, I understand that it's not necessarily something that you're looking to compete with an agency management system. This is something to really enhance it and add to it. Would you say that's correct?
Absolutely. We had a very clear proposition from day one, which is we consider ourselves as an add-on to an agency management system. In fact, I think we are the first one, we coined this term. This term did not exist as an add-on to an agency management system. We literally brought this term to the space as an add-on to a management system. We are getting a very good response from the agency community where they see how natural it is to have that extension to their agency management system to have a product like InsuredMine.
So InsuredMine, the essence of the company, what it's saying to the marketplace, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're betting on the independent agent and their value in the insurance buying process. You're betting that they're going to be around for the long haul. Would you consider that correct?
Absolutely. And that's a very good point, Andrew, you bring up, because, you know, 3 to 5 years ago, this was every day's conversation is independent agent being disintermediated. It's all direct to consumer and all kind of statement. But I'm sure you would have seen that rumbling is going down quieter and quieter. Why is that happening? Because people do realize that now, especially optimists like us, we 100% back that agencies are not going anywhere. In fact, they're going to get even better with tools like InsuredMind, because not only they are giving customers that experience of having that digital purchasing, which are they are used to through the Googles and the Amazons and the Apple, but they are also bringing to the table the experience, the risk management perspective, which none of these direct-to-consumer would ever be able to match. So these guys have an inherent advantage, and so they're going to stay here.
I totally agree with that. Being on the insurance carrier side, I see firsthand the value that a strong independent agent provides to their clients at large. From a technology startup perspective, what type of value do you see insurance agents providing, and how can InsuredMind enhance that for the consumer? Let's say I'm a tech startup and I'm working with an insurance agent that is a user of InsuredMind. How can I expect that value to be kind of enhanced for the customer experience?
And see, that has been one of the biggest challenge is it was so much brick and mortar experience that everything you need to walk into the office. That number one. Number two, service was kind of a ping pong game, whether it was an agent or a carrier, who is providing that and where does that responsibility lies. These two things is overcome by the thing that now these agents, when they have to go and buy a product like Salesforce, which would take several thousands of dollars of investment at guys who would cost you the mortgage for your new house, that was making it impossible for agencies to go further and give that experience. But with companies like InsuredMind coming into picture, what we say is we are leasing you innovation as a service, which means now you don't need to have that $1 billion that a carrier or somebody else would have, or a big broker would have, to invest in technology to give that experience to the customer. You can lease innovation, and you can lease these kind of omni-channel experience products from innovative companies like InsuredMind and still be able to serve your client, delight them with that omni-channel experience. When a customer in the middle of the night is texting you, hey, I need my certificate of insurance because I have to go somewhere 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. for a job, and I need to have that, and I cannot come to your office tomorrow morning, otherwise it will jeopardize a day for me. How do you answer that? That means you need to have that mobile app where a certificate of insurance can be real-time issued with some interaction with a bot. Or if they're saying, hey, I think my policy does cover this or does not, I am just not sure, can you tell me? Or I don't have to wait till 9 a.m. when your office opens. Can I look at my mobile app and on my chatbot, ask that guy? So things like that is changing. Or when I'm looking for a quote, I am sending you communication back and forth. I don't need to scan or fill this form or that form. All that digital transaction, from the point of signing to the point of payment to the point of giving information, all that has changed how it used to be. And that changed approach because of technology has changed the mindset of the consumer of having the convenience. And that is where agents are winning.
With all the changes that we've been experiencing through the global pandemic and a switch from, you know, or at least a pause, right? We don't know where it's going to be, but a pause in-person, face-to-face interactions. Even if you wanted to go to an agency's office, we're experiencing it. A lot of them aren't open right now. They're in a work-from-home environment. Something like InsuredMind, it could be a really, really big lifesaver for agencies that are switching to, like you said, an omni-channel experience, a more digital experience. It feels like over the last few years, there's been push from the insurance consumer, especially in the startup space. We want to go online. We're building these state-of-the-art digital systems, and that's how we want our insurance experience to be. And the insurance industry as a whole is very large and tough to steer. And so do you feel like this was, as unfortunate as it is overall, a small sliver, is it the kind of catalyst that maybe we needed to get us to adopt more digital technologies in a quicker fashion?
An interesting question, and this question should come every time when we are looking at it in the context of COVID. But I'll tell you, we started this journey a couple of years ago, and we had already started experiencing this was kind of starting to happen. This did, obviously, was, as you said, was this became a catalyst. It expedited the whole need to be digital. But at the same time, it pushed them a bit too fast. And so what would have given them an opportunity to, you know, ride the curve and build it the right way rather than force it to accept it this way, it's kind of creates some kind of a friction in their mind. But overall, this is a good thing. Because now agencies are not only accepting it, this is how it needs to be. And I'm talking about some of those constituents, which is baby boomer agencies. Some of them are brick and mortar running that office for last 40 years. And some of them running that 40 years before 40 years being run by their dad or their granddad. It's a generation business, we understand that. Right. And so shifting that dramatically is... And I will give you a couple experience of there are agencies which did not even have an agency management system. And those guys, you are saying you need to have a CRM, you know, it's like day and night. So, but we are seeing that kind of an adoption. Another one, which is kind of a middle, I would slot, is agencies using a lot heavy Excel or Post-it notes. Then a product like InsuredMind, because when you talk about automation, segmentation of customers, and, you know, trying to send them automated email or trying to, you know, nurture them, these were just startup words. This was not designed and developed for insurance agents. This is novelty. And now this is becoming a day-to-day experience. So as much as they're adopting it, the satisfaction is in their openness, the way they are now, okay, tell me, Roshan, what I need to learn. And I think that is the biggest game changer, is that mindset that they are ready with, that, hey, tell me what I need to learn.
With that mindset, are you experiencing that from a vast majority of your customers, or is that kind of a subset of your customers where maybe some more of them are reluctant to change it or fighting it?
Some are fighting it, I would say that. And some are into that, you know, hey, my agency management system is everything, which is also changing. That mindset is changing, that, you know, because I'll tell you one thing. End of the day, as an agency, what are the two things I care about as a value proposition of my agency? As an agent, I need to be aware of and manage my client's risk for the right exposure, for the right price. That's one thing, being their risk manager. But at the same time, that is your duty, your obligation, or your skill, whatever you want to call it. You do that once you are hired. You don't do it for prospects, right? You do it for the guys who are buying policy from you. But the journey before buying is all selling. What are you doing day in and day out? You are selling. You cannot, as we say, that, you know, if you have 6 hours to cut a tree, spend 4 hours sharpening the saw. That's the thing. You cannot be effective and optimized with a blunt saw. So build that sales engine, use the technology, have that CRM, nurture your prospects so you are ready to serve them with your risk skills. But if they're not coming your door, that skill is not being used.
So Roshan, you make an interesting point with regards to rethinking the sales process for insurance. Do you feel like that is a move in the right direction, when it comes to insurance agencies engaging with tech startups who are more familiar with that kind of prospecting and nurture campaign? Or do you feel like there is still some work to do in the insurance, the independent agency community as it relates to engaging with tech startups?
No, I think the market is ready. I think the agency community is ready. They understand that they have to walk this extra mile. And the other thing is, they are also realizing who they are dealing with, which is the customer base. This customer base has been dealing with products like this. How many of you around who do not have in their experience where they're not using Slack, where they're not using Google Chat or Skype or Teams, all these products are being used. These are all SaaS products. Gusto or for payroll, there are something. So all these tools that knowingly, unknowingly, evident, it's there that they are used to that nurturing. So it is just the perspective that needs to be built around that your skill needs to be enhanced through another dimension. I, at an average, literally talk to 1,000 agents a year, or maybe more. And one thing I say and hear from them when I'm saying this to them is, have you segmented your customers? And when I say segmented your customer, is to understand which is that 20% of the customer bringing 80% of the value, which is that 80% of the customer bringing only 20% of the value. Look at from that perspective. Or say, have you segmented your operations? Which is that 20% of that operation bringing in the value? Or which is that 80% of the value, 20% coming the other way around? The reason I say that is because if it is a repetitive, high volume, less value work, automate them. If it is a low volume, high value work, make it advisory. So you would be able to spend your right time at the right place rather than pretend that you are busy because you are spending your time in the wrong place.
In your experience working with agents, what type of business generally falls in that 20% that would be more high touch, high value advisory type work?
Especially in the commercial insurance, it's a bit more complicated. And the closing does not happen in a very short period, right? It's when a customer comes to you, what we see that they are less interested in saving that 10, 20, 50 bucks. They are more interested in making sure you are the guy who understands this business, the risk that I am getting in, telling me what my exposures will be. And that is where you need to show your flaunt to an extent your skills. And sometimes with those guys, there is an element of that automation. Nurture them with the skills and the knowledge that you have built over the period of time. I'll give you a specific example. If you're doing trucking insurance, you know, there is so specific risk in that trucking. That's what your guys like you, underwriters, will tell them what to look for. So agencies are working with you day in and day out to understand those exposure so they can share with them. But the interaction with the customer, first of all, is not happening every day. And that closing is also not happening in 2 days. It will take longer. So what do you do? Do you just wait that 30 day or build your drip campaign for the 30 day where every 5 days you are sending in something about trucking insurance that you have learned in this last 20 years? That establishes you as a thought leader, expert, and establishes your reputation that this guy is now going nowhere but coming to you.
I heard that referred to on LinkedIn, a fellow by the name of Josh Brown. He calls that making deposits. Depositing value without asking for anything in return explicitly, right? The goal is that you're making deposits so that one day you could ask for business. But even if the customer never comes back to you, you've given something to them that's actionable that they didn't know that's going to make them a better insured.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would build upon that point. And when you're sending those emails out, let's say one of your email on the trucking side was, hey, here are the five biggest claims reasons, right? When you have given that and he end up not buying policy from you and it happened down the line, one of those five reasons triggered in and he would be so, you know, thankful to you that at least I knew some of these things. And you know, sooner or later, that business will come back to you. So as you said, making the deposit, and it's also then what you're not doing at that moment is what I call as, you know, pitch slap. Hey, here's my pitch. Here is what, take it. Rather than saying, hey, I am presenting to you. This is helpful to you. You know how you can use it. That advisory thing is so important. And most of the time you cannot do it because you are overwhelmed and you know overburdened doing those automated stuff which should have been automated.
Yeah, so switching gears a little bit, but building off of that. So as a technology startup, the insurance experience is varied, right? Especially for a first-time entrepreneur, first-time founder, they maybe aren't as skilled or knowledgeable about the insurance buying process. And this agency that you're describing that's providing value, that is an expert, that is making deposits rather than just sell. How, for me as a potential founder, how do I go about finding an agency like that? How should I be vetting that process and separating the ones who are going to provide me value versus the ones that might view me as a transaction?
That's a very good point. And I think you bring in a perspective from that policy holder or the potential prospect for the agent rather than the agent looking for the policy holder, the prospect. As a customer, and I get into that shoe as often because I'm also looking covered. I want to make sure my other policies are out there. And it's important. Today, we understand where the business is happening. Business is happening digitally, which digital reputation is important. So if I am looking for a particular cyber coverage, what do? I Google the cyber coverage and then I'm looking at which agent is. So today you cannot be sitting in your office praying for the phone to ring. If you have not worked towards it, then that phone is not gonna ring. What does that mean, working towards it? Which means putting out content. Being active on LinkedIn, gathering Google reviews, you know, like what you are doing podcasts or interviews with your current and your prospective clients to understand that customer, their persona, their need and their desire, because one of these will fit into the guy who's looking for that policy. It's very important, agents. I have to think out of the box now, communicating and engaging with the communities of policyholders or the potential insured for what they are looking for.
Going through that process the first time with InsuredMine, you know, what did you learn? What were you surprised by with the process, with the level of information requested? You know, what light could you shine on that experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had a couple experiences because previous year, the guy I bought from versus this year. This year, how it was very different for me because this guy, interestingly, happens to be one of our customer. It's like eating your own dog food. This guy is campaigning and sending me all the messages using my own system.
Hey, so it works.
It works. I was so thrilled. I called him. I said, man, this call is for nothing but to say thank you. I am learning what it feels like to be a customer now. What was really exciting about that whole experience was this guy has built his entire process. From the moment he engaged with me as a prospect to the point of onboarding me as a client, he built that entire process around it. And I would say 70% of that process was automated. It included whether it was all these nurturing campaigns, whether it was texting me on something he needed, whether sending me some documents, whether it was about the DocuSign, whether once I'm onboarded and then sending me all these welcome kits and campaigns and everything. A lot of that was already done. Where he and I spent time was more FaceTime after he sent me the policy, where he was explaining things. Hey, this is what the coverage is. This company is good for this. This company is good for that. This is what I would recommend. And this is what you can go off. Like, it was just a very crystal clear conversation because there was so much information which was shared prior and which has built that background for it.
With your insurance buying experience, it sounds like it was a 21st century insurance buying experience. It sounded like a lot of digital, a lot of automation. It had a blended part where it was fast, but it was also in depth, right? You didn't feel like you were rushed, but you also didn't feel like you were just waiting, right? You know, it was a good experience. How much of that played a part based on the processes and the protocols that you had put in place to kind of make InsuredMine a very insurable company, right? As far as the risk management tools and stuff that you were using before going out and buying the insurance.
Yeah. So from a company perspective, I would say this, you know, whatever we are building as a product is as important, but what is really more important to us is our customers, their faith in us, and that faith being developed based on the facts that we are making sure that they are well protected through the security that we invest in. It's very easy that we build a very fancy product and leave a back door open, rather than the way we have done is, okay, if we are going to invest our time in building a feature, I am not going to compromise when we need to invest time and money in making sure the security is top notch. And I can say this with all sincerity, any other beyond some of these billion-dollar unicorns, I don't anybody is investing as much as we are. You know, because the penetration testing, the encryptions, running all kinds of simulation testing, there's so many things that we are doing today, because we so much believe in the idea of that it is so important aspect of business. And more than that, we also know that cybersecurity is so important to them that we hear almost every second day one situation or the other. And the last thing we want is to be one of those.
I saw on your website, you've got an entire page dedicated to your security practices and how you really spent some time on that. Was that something you set out to do from the beginning, or was that something that you enacted due to maybe an insurance requirement or a carrier recommendation?
No, it was when we started the company, two things was very clear in our mind. One was, well, three things I would say. The third is very obvious, but so one was our affiliation or our closeness to the customer, that customer experience, that customer delight. We are customer obsessed. And the way we reflect that we are customer obsessed is, I'll give you an example, is when a customer sends an email to customer support at insuredmind.com, you would think it would go to a particular department. Support is not a department in InsuredMind. It is the entire company. It goes to everyone. So support is in our DNA. That's how we look at it. So that customer experience is built upon it. That's number one for us. Number two to us is security. From day one, we just wanted to make sure, even if we are adding one piece of data that is encrypted, that has been tested, there is no loophole left here and there. Security from day one has been taught. One of the client we have is American Enterprise, a carrier. They went through a full-blown due diligence process with us before using our product. And it was a very rigorous process that we went through to make sure it satisfies the needs or some of the things which was not covered. You and the carrier, when they are doing business with you, Hanover would be the same way. They would make sure any data coming out of carrier, how big is that? So obviously we have invested from day one. You cannot just build the whole thing just because somebody, a client or somebody asks for it tomorrow. So that is number two. And number three was obviously the product. We were never a sales company. And unfortunately, we are not a sales company even today. It's a product company. We are led by product team. How many are engineers? It's that mix. 83% of the company is engineers. That's what. So focus is build the right product. It will sell itself. So the customer service, the security, and the product, if you put these three things together, you build a unbreachable castle of customers.
The underwriter in me is you know, giddy when I hear this, because you take a risk management approach first to building your business. You set the foundation early on that you can build and scale it without having to double back and try to institute that. Other than just the ability to be confident and trust in your product, what are some of the hidden benefits, or maybe the benefits that you've realized that you didn't expect to have by being so risk forward?
Well, I think it naturally a very comforting sense. I think it lets me sleep better, because the product, the company, everything floats around security, and it's like having a hole in the ship. How long would you survive if you have something like that? You know, so it's important that you not only make sure there is no holes, but you also make sure you are continuously reviewing that there is no hole. So it's not an event. So that's why looking at security, it is not that, okay, it is done and it is dusted. No, it is a everyday practice, because every day we are doing something which is putting a risk on the table. Someone is accessing or changing the access in the database or doing something, and that is opening up a new port or this or that, and somebody just sneaks in, and that's your doomsday.
All it takes is one. You can have the best practices. All it takes is one overlook, one oversight, and you're dealing with that you probably did not want.
So, you know, having that multiple factor authentication, whether it's to access something or you're opening something, it needs multiple approvals, and to close it goes the same route. So there are things like that which you put in practice, and then it becomes your second nature. You're just doing your job because others are doing theirs.
Right. And I feel like, especially now with such of the workforce being distributed and people working from home, having those systems from day one, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, did it allow you to work from home more easily to kind of slide into that new environment because you had such an IT control?
Absolutely. We have our engineering team in Bangalore, which is kind of a second Silicon Valley, if you may, which means we have the best pool of talents to pull from, and that has helped us certainly. And so these guys were always remote for us, but is working out of the AWS cloud environment. So it was very important from day one, even though we are all co-located, that whole engineering team is co-located in an office, but everybody was hooked up to cloud. So now whether you are sitting there or sitting at home, it literally, what changes is that warmth of your body sitting next to you, or the stink of your body sitting next to you, but nothing else. Coordination, I would say, is definitely something you miss a little bit because of not being in office. But beyond that, our momentum, if anything, has continued to grow rather from the product development side rather than, I don't know if you saw that just a couple of days ago, we released August feature release, which included 80 plus features or new enhancements. So that's the kind of output these guys are producing on a monthly basis. And that's just miraculous that we have come so far in this such a short time frame.
Rashaan, before I end our time together, one of the first things that we connected on early on was that we're both parents of young children. And for your son, I'm curious, what types of lessons do you hope he takes from you watching you run your business, and just kind of some tips you'd have for our audience when it comes to balancing building a company like Insured Mind and then your family life at home.
Funny, you know, that's a whole 1 hour discussion. But I'll say this, you know, so I have 2 and 7, and my 2-year-old, he cannot spell his, like, can't sound his name properly, but the two words he knows is Insured Mind and Roshan, because all day long he hears Roshan from Insured Mind.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And so this guy is just listening that and absorbing, right, you know. But, you know, my 7-year-old, who is way more composed and, you know, a lot more, he's a wonderful chess player, by the way. So he's all analytical in that way, right? So he and I had that conversation all the time, you know, what are you working on, you know, and why, you know, that why question comes up. And, you know, it's very important that in early days, we teach them about passion. What keeps you awake at 4 a.m. that you're still working? Just because, you know, we are poor and you need to work first? Or is it because you are driven to do something? And so that, and when he sees that day in and day out, that changes a perspective. And I think that is very important that, you know, I keep my kids very close when I'm working. It doesn't need to be that I need to kick them out or here. I would, you know, take a 5 minutes out and, you know, just do a little bit here and there with them and then get back to work. But, you know, it's very important when they are connected. They see this day in and day out. And it's, you know, and I think that is doing a wonderful service for me to teach them how to conduct. Because I'm on a call with, this is what, you know, kids, how do they learn? They learn by observing. You know, that's the best thing, you know. And so we have to be, you know, and that is kind of a watchdog for you, is you behave yourself. You do it right. You don't say things which you don't want them to learn. And so I enjoy this whole process, and I'm just blessed, you know, these guys are just matured at this age to understand all these things.
Wow, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. They pick up by watching. Right. They're always watching, even when you think they're not, they're always listening.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, to be able to model that kind of behavior will go much further than any spoken word or reading a book to see it right in front of them. Yeah, that's a beautiful
idea. Example. So my prior job, so I used to be working with CBRE as in their M&A team, and again, I was always kind of workaholic. So, you know, I would put in long hours and stuff. And so my son, almost 3 years ago, he was 4. One day he would come to me and he would say, "Hey, can you ask your boss to give you a laptop with less work?" Because he thought all the work was in the laptop. That's what I was doing all day, right?
That's awesome. So it's
just their observation.
I'm so fascinated by the inner workings of a child's mind. It's so innocent, and you know, it's like, God, yeah, I could see why you might think that. And it's just a beautiful perspective that, you know, us as cynical adults that we've been through it and we're like, that's not how it works. But it's like, it's really refreshing just to, you know, get a really true brand new innocent perspective on life. It just makes you, you know, makes you appreciate kind of where you are, you know, it keeps you grounded.
Absolutely.
So Roshan, thank you so much. This has been an absolutely fantastic conversation. Where can people go to learn more about your work?
Well, the simplest is insuredmind.com, M-I-N-E. So InsuredMine, because sometimes, you know, they would end up doing insured mind. And so no, it's not mind, it's mind. So insured mind as place, because that takes you to all the social media, all our YouTube videos.
Perfect. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
That does it for this edition of Insurance Requirements. If you haven't already, check out our website, howyouinsurethat.com, where you'll find episode archives as well as our blog, where we tackle different insurance topics from today's episode. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, pass it along to a friend or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, I'm your host, Andrew Carell.